I read your book, this past year and stuff, and I'm just amazed by you. I've seen you do video interviews, and you seem like the most joyful person that I think I've ever seen, met, heard of. I would just love to know, like, where does that joy come from? And like, have you always been that way? Is that something that you've discovered? And if so, what was the turning point there?
Yeah, I think, it's always hard to figure out the return address of your joy. Sometimes somebody will give you a gift and you're happy about it, but that's not joy. You're just like really happy that you got whatever it is they gave you. Or somebody will say something nice about you and you're really honored that they thought well of you, but that's not joy. It's just that you feel really good. So I think that joy is just the return address is usually hope. It is for me. It probably is for you too. And I stay like pretty hopeful. And I'll give you an example. I am such a note taker. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't send myself out that 60 emails. I'll just go through the day, and I'll if something occurs to me and it makes bad sense, I'll just jot it down. And that, I think, distinguishes me from just about everybody. Not absolutely everybody, but just about everybody. Because people think just as many things as I think about, and the difference is I write them down. Because if you don't write it down, it's like this dog that runs across the field and you whistle and it never comes back. That happens down in Tennessee, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So what I did by way of example, I'm just sitting here editing this next book. And what I wrote down just on a piece of paper is the return address of joy is hope. And there's nothing big and deep and spiritual about that, but one of the things that I did away with probably 20 or 30 years ago is having quiet times in the morning. I haven't really, it's been decades. What I do is I sit down each morning and I look at all the things I wrote down the day before to literally what I'm doing right now. I look through those, and then I go to Scripture and I say, I know they sound right, but are they actually true? And if you want a bunch of stuff that sounds right, just listen to Tony Robbins. Sounds right. If you want a bunch of stuff that's actually true, listen to Jesus. So what I do is I take everything I've thought about during the day before, and I say, okay, is this stuff actually true? And a lot of it is kind of neutral. The Scripture doesn't talk at all about frisbees or whatever it was that I talked about. It kind of got my attention, but a bunch of it does. So, is the return address of joy, is that hope? And I don't know the answer. I'm no theologian. I'm a pretty good lawyer. But what I'll do then is I'll actually go in and be actually interested in what Scripture, before I say it, because Scripture talks, Paul's talking to Timothy about people who tickle ears and last days things are going to sound right, but they won't actually be right. And there's all kinds of Bible verses in that. Jesus talking about millstones and teachers and all that. So you're one of them. I'm one of them. Everybody reading your blog's one of them. And we need to not just say things that sound right. We need to say things that are actually true.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to this idea of where does the joy come from, I think it's because I live a really engaged life that's really hopeful. I don't have all these happy sayings, a bunch of rowers pulling with some inspirational saying under it. But what I do is I'm just surrounded by all the things I've thought about, and then to say I'm actually curious to say, is that really true? And test it against Scripture. And then if it is, then I'll write it down. If it isn't, I literally just block it and delete it. I just one more thing that I got wrong. But it's other right. And so if there's nothing bad about that, I don't think God's been out of shape. I think he wants us to stay super engaged. And that would be my second thought.
Yeah.
I'm super engaged in a lot of people that perhaps aren't as much. That would be me.
How are you capable of staying so engaged? Because, I mean, you're taking a phone call from me this morning. Like, I'm interrupting your quiet time. And I'm thinking about how accessible you are. So, like, how do you find that time just to, you know, people are so busy these days. I mean, we rarely have any time where we're not, there's something that we're not consuming, basically. And so, like, how do you find those times where you can kind of disconnect and kind of hear from God and jot things down?
You know, I spent all this time earlier on trying to find balance in my life. I spent so much time trying to find it, I feel like it tipped over. Mm-hmm. So I just stopped. I'm not trying to find balance. I just take calls. This is probably, I bet I got 10 calls this morning.
Yeah.
And it's only 8:25 here in San Diego. I don't know the order you probably would. I think God did things, but I think the first thing you probably made before heavens and earth and all that is time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the last thing that we make. We just don't make time for each other. And we sing all the songs about being the family of God, but then they don't make time for each other. And that makes your lousy family.
Wow, that's really good.
So that's what I'm, in answer to your question, one of the things I try to do is just not be efficient in the way that I love people. And I've got some friends, I won't say their name, but I'm super, super efficient. They're all over Twitter and everything to say, here's how to be more efficient. And I think that's terrific. That's just not me.
Yeah.
Because I think what I think of Jesus is super inefficient in the way that he loved people.
Yeah.
You know, you want efficient, that's like God just like wiping out everybody and starting over. Inefficient is like send this little baby and then he'll go. That's a really inefficient way to save humanity.
Yeah. So would you say kind of all these conversations that you're having on a daily basis, all these things that you're kind of getting involved in with people, would you say it gives you a better or a kind of a closer idea of who God is? Or, you know, is there something special about that to you that, like, hey, because I am make myself so available that I'm, like, seeing God more clearly or anything like that?
I'm just reminded, I think, perhaps a little bit more often than some people are, to set those practices in my life that remind me, like, not sending anybody to voicemail.
Right.
So as you can imagine, I've got some things going on this morning, but with a phone ring, I don't have a caller ID and all that. So if it rings, I answer. Like, that's really easy.
Yeah.
So it's like taking time. So having maybe finding practices in your life, and everybody will have different practices. We don't even give people a bunch of steps. Instead, maybe a little bit more like those ramps that they make to buildings that people like us to use.
Yeah.
Okay. So to say, okay, so one of the things that I've just gotten the habit of doing is just answering everybody's call. If you did that, you'll probably get reminded 20 or 30 times a day about what it's like to be available. It's terrific. I don't know if anybody else gets anything out of it, but I learn a lot. I've learned a lot just talking to you.
Well, thank you so much. Do you have a favorite Bible story, favorite verse, anything like that?
I like that verse. It's in Mark, I think, where it's towards the end. It was right after they said that, you know, you'll handle snakes and not get it. And then it says, like, some of the original transcripts don't say that. That sounds like so much like a lawyer wrote that in. Like, don't try this at home.
Yeah.
And right after that, it skips a verse. Like, it's almost like he got called away to the phone and then he came back and said, like, where was I?
Yeah.
It's like this missing verse, and I forget which one it is. I don't know. It might have been number 26. But, so, like, just like that, it's the one that isn't written yet. It's the one that we get to put into place. Like, you know, Revelation says if you add things to the Bible, you get every, like, verse in your lap.
Right.
So I don't think you ought to be adding things to the Bible. But I wonder if there was more than just a mistake in numbering the paragraphs and not the verses.
Yeah.
I wonder what that one would be. And it isn't like I'd insert it right there. I wouldn't insert it at all because Scripture says you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
And I think it would be something about being available.
I got you.
This concept that we're going to spend forever together.
Mm-hmm.
And so what if we just practice now? Like, make ourselves like a warm-up band for eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't found any Bible verses to support this, but not this much. That whoever we can't get along with here in the faith community, you know, here on earth, God will make us like we're mates with them for eternity. We can argue about who gets the top spot.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to do. Just think, I think, and you don't need to be a theologian. Like, that's what I was just going to press send on a little tweet this morning about how loving people is great theology. If you love people the way that Jesus did,
mm-hmm.
that's an awesome way. You want good theology?
Yeah, it's the best.
You want to know, well, how do you love them? I don't know. Read it.
Yeah.
Just, you know, all that. And people want to argue about whether God's a boy or a girl or I'm like, buddy, dude, I don't know.
Right.
You don't have to swing it every pitch. I'm just trying to figure out how I can be nice to the mailman today when he delivers all my bills to the wrong house.
Exactly. One of my favorite verses is John 10:10, and the latter part of that verse says, you know, Jesus is talking, he says, I came to give life and life more abundantly, depending on what version, but
I
see you as a guy who certainly is living an abundant life, and I try to think that's about myself. You know, I try to think, hey, I really love life, I enjoy life, but it seems like even amongst Jesus followers, there's so many people that you would look at their life and you would say, they're not living an abundant life. You know, how do you see people like it? Like, why is that? Because Jesus offers it to us. Why do so many people miss it?
It's usually the first thing that came to mind was how nobody aims for living a typical life, but we end up living it.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't a bad thing. It's just that you do. A typical is just the sum of everybody's life. So I get it, but you don't kind of need to be like everybody else. It's hard not to watch what everybody else is doing, but the more that we can be freed up to say, okay, so what's my piece in this thing? You know, what's my small little contribution going to be? And my contribution is not to be being like everybody else. You know, you don't do it to draw a bunch of attention to yourself. You just say, I'm just not trying to be like everybody else. This big idea that Scripture talked about is being like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So say, take one thing that he was like. So take availability. Like, so he's super available to a woman that pulls on a shirt, a guy up in a sycamore tree. I mean, he just has time for everybody. So maybe you take one thing at a time and just work on that and say, okay, how can I do that? Oh, my cell phone. I can do that.
Yeah.
And then it's hard to work on joy, right? It's like you say, okay, be more joyful.
Yeah.
You're like, ready, go.
Yeah.
But if you can work on things like availability, like that's a little bit easier, right?
Right.
So that's what I do. I think I'm really maybe conscious about that stuff and pick one thing and say I'm going for that.
Yeah. Yeah, in your book, you say a statement. It's something like most people need not more opportunities; they need a change of attitude.
Yeah.
And so is that's along those same lines?
Yep, that's it, man.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that's helpful. I hope there's a couple things that I'm gonna go say bye to my son as he said now.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling. I hope that's helpful, and thanks for what you're doing.
Hey, I appreciate it, Bob. Thank you so much for your time.
Hope to see you soon.
Yeah, we'll do. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.